All right, here we go. Another edition of Talkin' Dodgers. We're going to get into some depressing stuff, but then also some good stuff. Before we get started, this episode is brought to you by Command Creative Studios. Looking to jump into the podcast world and start making your own content? Command Creative Studios is your one-stop shop for professional podcasts. With a team of audio engineers, music composers, and graphic designers, Command Creative Studios can get your podcast sounding professional as well as looking professional. For more information, please visit commandcreativestudios.com. Don't forget to hit that like and subscribe button. Help us spread like a virus. This is What's on Deck. This episode, Gavin Stone to the IL. Teoscar Hernandez dodges the IL. We have a small glass now update. Is Flaherty the future number one for the playoffs? We're going to recap the Guardians-Dodgers series, and we're going to preview the Cubs-Dodgers coming up. Right now, really fast updates on the magic number. So the Dodgers' magic number is 13 with only 19 games remaining. That means any combination of losses and wins for the Dodgers, I think Arizona and San Diego, then, you know, the Dodgers clinch the NL West. We have an Ohtani update on the 50-50 club watch. Ohtani's now at 46-46 after this weekend. All right, that was exhausting. Mike, Max, how you doing?
I'm good. It's Sunday night. Dodgers are doing good. My Dodgers are going to be good. We did evaluations this weekend.
Your Dodgers. 110, you bought a franchise?
Yeah, the William S. Hart Pony Baseball franchise.
Yeah, you got to let the people know.
Mike took a melatonin before this episode.
Hart Pony Baseball, Dodgers. We had evaluations the last 2 days in 110 degree heat and checking out some future possible professional baseball
players.
Are
you the Pony Dodgers?
I am the Pony Dodgers.
Oh, guess what? I'm the 5U Dodgers.
Oh, guess what? Yeah. I'm the assistant coach of a 5U Dodger team. Let's go.
That's convenient.
It's going to be rad. Our kids are going to be awesome.
All right, it's gonna be fun. We might as well, you know, Max, this is the first weekend of full football. How would you feel? Is it like you seem chipper or are you kind of like a little let down?
No, football is great.
His Jets haven't played
yet.
Yeah,
so it hasn't even started for me yet.
Yeah.
Thank you. So at least Mike is like aware of the situation here.
That's okay.
Football doesn't start for me until tomorrow.
I'll fill in. I had a good weekend of football. I enjoyed the games this weekend.
Go. Okay, well, that's good. All right, let's jump into it. All right, so Gavin Stone to the IL. That, you know, part of me feels like we should have saw this coming. It's pretty disappointing. Here, I'll read you like just the brief description that's on the Dodgers injury update page. Let's see. Right shoulder inflammation. Stone had been the only Dodgers starter to make every start through the rotation this year before landing on the IL on September 6th. The right-hander will be shut down from throwing for 10 days to 2 weeks, putting his status for the rest of the season in serious question. Well,
that's a problem.
That would be a problem because if it ends up being one of those, you know, I know that Major League Baseball cracked down on phantom ILs. So this might not be one that we were hoping it would be. Like, we've been talking about get this guy rest for throughout the season, it seemed like, because when he started falling off a little bit, we thought it was because of
overusage,
but then his last two or three starts, he looked incredible. One of the best, if not the best starter on the team. And now he's on the IL. So either he needed that rest or they're giving it to him now, or maybe it's just, he will only be for 10 days. I hope it's not something that's super serious and we lose him for the playoffs. That's all I want to say. At least
we can't afford to lose him for the playoffs. It's disheartening to read.
Yeah, it sucks. He was definitely the bright spot for the rotation.
Absolutely.
So now if you look at, like, at least we got Yamamoto coming back on Tuesday. Let's just say it's just Yamamoto that comes back. That means that gives us Yamamoto, that's Flaherty, that's Walker Buehler, and that's, you know, Bobby Miller. That's your four.
Bobby Miller or Brandon Knack?
I would let you know what we should talk about Knack, because Knack started on Friday. He looked really good.
I agree.
And I don't know if it's because there's not a lot of tape. Like, I guess maybe the opposing team doesn't watch a lot of video on him because he's a rookie, hasn't had a lot of starts. Sometimes you get rookies that come in and sneak in before the league kind of figures them out, which could be good for Knack. Because 8 strikeouts is very uncharacteristic. He's not a really big strikeout pitcher. So getting that against the Guardians, who they have a decent,
they're a good team.
They have a decent lineup. Also, they've got a guy on their team who I've always liked. Ramirez has a chance to be 40-40 club. I think he's like 35-35. He's somewhere close. They have, I mean, they, like I said, they got a good lineup. So if he hits 40-40 club, that means Judge isn't going to get MVP.
Before,
so just to make sure Max is woke up.
The only person who's getting other MVP votes, if it's not Judge, is Bobby Witt
Jr. Yeah, Bobby Witt Jr. looks
good. I like Bobby Witt.
Yeah, yeah.
I like him.
I just want to make sure Max is paying attention.
I get it.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Knack, he's going to have to pitch some meaningful innings over the next several weeks, or meaningful games over the next several weeks.
Yeah,
right?
Knack was already going to be Kershaw's replacement until he comes back, hopefully.
So who's healthy? We got.
Yeah, I just went over it. So it's Bobby Miller, Knack, Flaherty.
And Bueller.
Bueller. And then, you know, we're going to see what we got from Yamamoto when he pitches on Tuesday.
And you said something about Glasnow as well, right?
Yeah, so we have an update on Glasnow, which isn't a lot. Let me jump over to the Glasnow. Let's see. Glasnow threw 25-pitch bullpen session yesterday. It was September 7th. So if you guys are listening to this, it'd be September 9th. Anyways, the first time... The first time he got off the mound since landing on the injured, whatever. This is the first time he's thrown since he's been on the injured list. That's what it says. Manager Dave Roberts said he threw only fastballs and a bullpen session on September 10th will be more aggressive. Okay. So I read that wrong or the person who wrote this sucks. Let's just say it's a little bit of both. So he only threw fastballs, 25 pitches. He's got another bullpen session on the 10th. It's going to be more aggressive, bottom line. So I think they're just going to they're going to evaluate him every bullpen session, and hopefully he just progresses in the right direction, and he could be an option coming into the playoffs. But right now, only throwing 25 pitches, only throwing fastballs. It's September 8th. He's got a long way to go.
What do you think? You might as well jump into Glasnow update now. Are you concerned about him?
Yeah, dude, I've been concerned about him. Like, going on the IL with an elbow injury is not... It's shoulder and elbow. I mean, nothing's ever good.
That's a combination of things.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much anything with your arm is always bad. If someone goes on for, like, say, like a big toe bruise.
Sure.
I mean, like, you know, like Kershaw, I could see him coming back. If someone goes, they pulled a hamstring. So, like, anything that doesn't have to do with your arm, I could see them coming back at a realistic time. But whenever they mention the arm specifically in the injury, I feel like they're always on the IL longer than it says that they anticipate them being on there. I mean, Glasnow's already on there longer than they anticipated. They anticipated him only being on there for 15 days. I don't know the exact number. I rely on Max for that kind of stuff, but I'm pretty sure he's over 15 days on the IL. And every single time you pass that, Max, can you help me out on this? Every single time you pass an initial 15 days on the IL, you get put on another 15 day, right?
Yeah.
For pitchers. Because position players are 10 days.
Yeah.
Pitchers are 15.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
It doesn't go 15, then you could do 10. Does it?
Well, technically, you could kind of keep them in there as long as you don't have to do a roster move. It's really for, you know, the 40-man. You know, that's really the thing with the time limits.
So. But after 15 days,
what happens?
Nothing. You could keep on. You could still be designated on there.
Yeah, but could it go after 15 days? Is it day to day?
Pretty much, he could be eligible.
that's the question.
Yeah, he could be eligible to come back after the 15 days, but doesn't mean he has to be back after the 15 days.
You don't have to activate him.
No, if they're not ready.
So if he misses the 15-day mark, he has to be on for another 15 days.
No.
He could just come back whenever now. Not just any day, they could just reactivate him.
He just can't come back on day 14.
That's
how it works. He just can't come back day 14, but he could be activated anytime after that 15 day.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good news.
Yeah.
Well, good.
So that's why they'll
If you
they'll
if do you're that. Right, then yeah. that means it's there's more of a possibility then, because I thought you had to always be put on another round regardless.
No, okay. You don't have to. Good. Like, but they can, like, if it's something more serious and they need to, like, get, like, a longer, like, roster spot kind of thing, they'll, once you're on the 15, you know, you don't have to transition to the 60 day or anything like that.
Let us know.
No, yeah, he can come back after the 15 day, but you don't have to, like, make it like, oh no, it's another 15 day. That's
okay. It's not an increment.
Speaking of 15 days, let's get 15 likes, subscribes,
Yeah, this is a good time to invite everybody. Yeah, don't forget to click that like and subscribe button.
Tell us how much you love us.
Good job, Mike. Love it. Love it.
15.
All right, so that's a very small update on Glass. Now let's talk to Oscar Hernandez. You know, I am just dropping the ball. I pulled all these videos, and I'm not showing any of them right now.
Oh, man, that's
all right. Hold on a second. Let me just go to my reel section, because this is just terrible.
While you look into the reel section of your videos, I'm going to call it out now that Flaherty should be the new number one for the Dodgers moving forward, and he should be signed to a long-term contract.
I like you.
Boom!
I like you.
What do you think about those?
That's good. That's good. Good job. That's good job. Oh, and
do you not believe me?
Let's talk Flaherty, because I clicked the Flaherty thing anyway.
There we go. Look at that intro.
Yeah.
You're looking at the future, okay. Long-term Dodger.
While you do that,
5-year contract. I want to see it.
I got the confirmation for you. So here's the official: players on the 15-day injury list must remain out of action for at least 15 days.
Okay.
Though a player can also stay on the list for considerably longer than 15 days if necessary. That's so. As long as he doesn't come back on day 14.
So it's not increments. Doesn't say increments.
Gotcha.
No, it's never been that.
Okay. That makes sense.
I don't know why I thought that.
As long as you don't come back on 14. So a guy could be like on the 15 day and it's been day 20 because he's not kind of ready, but you're not going to transition him to the 60 day because then you won't have access to him.
That makes sense because it would handcuff all of the teams. Like if you had 15 days, the guy's still not ready, then he goes to a 30 day, but he only needs a week to get ready. Like
exactly, yeah.
They wouldn't be able to feel the roster. They'd be dropping people like flies.
Yeah,
I like Flaherty. Flaherty's our number one in the playoffs, and I think we should give him a long-term contract. What do you think, Robbie?
Oh, man, you know what? I did not.
I mean, if you're gonna,
I mess it up my video, dude.
Are you filming?
Is it on Film Room right now?
So Mike, let me ask you this then. So if you want Flaherty resigned, so you're walking away from Walker Buehler then?
Yes,
for sure. Right?
Okay. So
yes.
Okay. I think what should tell, because we're going to need Walker Buehler right now. I think we've pretty much said
we're talking long term.
I know, but I think we're talking right now Walker Buehler. Let's see what Flaherty does in the playoffs. Let's see what Walker Buehler does in the playoffs. Because we've seen Walker Buehler, what he could do in the playoffs. The dude is an animal. So if Walker Buehler this season, this playoffs, figures it out, goes into the playoffs, and is that animal, that reliable pitcher that he's been in the past, I don't know if you could just walk away from Walker Buehler.
Okay, but
I don't know if you can.
Right now, Flaherty's our number one, right?
I think going into the playoffs, right now, Flaherty has to be our number one. Even if Yamamoto comes back and he's healthy, even if Glasnow comes back and he figures it out, Flaherty has shown the most consistency since the trade deadline, since they got him through the rest of the season. And especially the way he just pitched today. I mean, the numbers that he gave away today, what did he do? He did 7 1/3. He gave up only 4 hits, struck out 6, no walks, no earned runs. I mean, we haven't seen a pitcher do that in a while for the Dodgers. I think the last one's Gavin Stone did it. But that's just shows like how good he's been since we've got him. The consistency, that reliability to go in first game in the playoffs, I think Flaherty has to be your guy. He's just been reliable since we've got him. You know he's going to be competitive. You know he's going to, even if the runners get on base, you know he'll be able to pitch his way out of it. I don't think we can say that right now about Walker Buehler, and I don't know if we can say that right now about Glasnow and Yamamoto.
And you definitely can't say it about Bobby Miller.
And we definitely can't say that about Bobby Miller.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel like I could say that about Gavin Stone. I think Gavin Stone would be your two. I think right now,
if he comes back,
if Gavin Stone came back, Flaherty would be your one. Gavin Stone would be your two, just because he's a rookie. He'd be pitching in Dodger Stadium, so that's a little bit of an up for him. And then if you go, you know, then you go away, then you would have Walker Buehler or Glasnow or Yamamoto, depending on your options, because those guys, they're a little bit more seasoned pitchers, even though Yamamoto is really young. But he's had that experience, you know, in Japan where, you know, playing in a champ, I believe he played in championships over there, didn't he, Max? Didn't he, like, I mean, he's played in, you know.
I mean, he was in the World Baseball Classic and that kind of stuff.
Too. Okay.
I think Yamamoto becomes the number two.
And definitely, I mean, he's won their Cy Young.
Yamamoto becomes the number two.
The youngest ever to
I think skill-wise, yes, number two, if he comes back in clicking, but there's something about having that maturity being pitching away. You know what I mean? Pitching in the visit or in the opponent's stadium. I think So I mean, it'd be interesting to look at the numbers. I mean, to be honest with you, Max,
okay, then have Walker Buehler pitch number two.
Max, can we look at Gavin Stone's numbers for home and away games? Like, what's his ERA in away, and what's his ERA at home?
Splits.
His splits. Yes. Show me the splits, Max. Show me the splits.
That's, I mean, that's a weird kind of, I don't condone any of that, what you're talking about. Show me the splits.
Well, then, you don't think you'd put Buehler at number two?
I don't know, man. I think it's just, it's...
If you want consistency, then you got to have Buehler number two and then Stone three. So but to me, game three is always the most critical game of the series.
Oh, yeah.
You know...
Go ahead, Max.
Gavin Stone is actually, he's been pretty consistent home or away. Home ERA 3.10. Away ERA 3.99. Strikeouts 59, 57. Opponents batting average 245 home, 251 away. I mean, he's pretty, almost the same as our innings pitch, 72, 67. I mean, he's 4-1 at home and he's 7-4 on the road. Okay. They're not like, it's not like a glaring difference, to be honest with you.
Okay.
That's actually pretty good for a young pitcher. Because, like you said, young pitchers usually they'll have like something glaring, like he's great at home and not so great on the road. And then day night, it's pretty much exactly the same again. 3.53 ERA, 3.53 ERA, 250 batting average, 247 batting average. So he's been extremely consistent for a young pitcher.
Well, that's good.
Really good to see. Actually, but here's the one thing. He strikes out more at night. 36 day strikeouts, 80 night strikeouts. Oh no, but he's pitched 70 more innings, so that throw that away. So okay. Yeah, he's inconsistent.
Away. Robbie.
Consistent.
What?
Let's talk Flaherty, Walker Buehler, long term. You talked about it a couple pods ago that you think we let Walker Buehler walk away in free agency.
I think that's the plan right now.
Yeah, how much are you going to pay a 30-year-old pitcher who's had arm problems?
I'm with you, but I want to hear Robbie's input because I believe we should go after Flaherty for a long-term contract.
Has Flaherty had Tommy John surgery?
Who hasn't?
Well, I'm curious.
Let's find out.
What do you think, Robbie? From what you've seen, would you like to see a Flaherty in Dodger blue for the next 3 or 4 years?
Heck yeah. Yes, I totally would. The good thing about being a Dodger fan is the Dodgers have just a lot of pitchers. Another problem with being a Dodger fan, though, is that they're always hurt. So we have all these good pitchers. We could sit here, we can go through name 10 like top quality starter pitchers, like around that. You got Glasnow, Yamamoto, Otani's gonna pitch next year. Walker Buehler, Kershaw. Did I say Gavin Stone? Bobby Miller? Did I say Dustin May? Did I say Tony Gonsolin? Did I say Emmett Sheehan? Like, that's 10 pitchers right there. The problem is, what, 7 of them are on the IL? 6 of them are on the IL? So we have all these great options when they're healthy. The problem is they're never healthy. So if you were to take, we're not going to get, we don't re-sign Walker Buehler. We don't re-sign Flaherty. Okay, let's just say we don't re-sign them, all right? You still have Otani who's going to be pitching next year. You still have Glasnow who's signed to, five more year contract. I can't remember if he did a 4 or 6. I don't remember. But you have those two. You've got Yamamoto who's signed until, I turn 90. Because that's how long his contract is. You've got Gavin Stone. Those four guys right there are guaranteed on your list, okay? Now you've got Tony Gonsolin coming back, who's still a Dodger. You've got Dustin May coming back, who's still a Dodger. You've got Clayton Kershaw, who they have signed for another year. That's 7 pitchers right there that you're already contracted to.
Don't you have a guy named Ryan, too, River Ryan or something?
River Ryan ain't going to pitch for like another 2 years. But
that's another pitcher.
But he's an option.
In your system.
But I'm saying you have those 7 guys right now.
I don't think he's going to pitch next season.
Who?
River Ryan.
No, he's not going to pitch. He's going to have, his arm's going to be in a sling. But, so you have those 7 guys right now as your options. So even if you said, I want to give Flaherty a long-term contract, or I want to give Walker Buehler a long-term contract, what do you do with those other guys unless you're doing an 8-man rotation? If all those guys are healthy, I could see them putting Dustin May in the bullpen, or I could see putting Bobby Miller in the bullpen. Let's say you knock those two out. You still have 5 pitchers right there that you still have to deal with. But still,
what do our listeners think? Flaherty to a long-term contract?
I would love to do Flaherty to a long-term contract, but you don't have an option for Flaherty right now. You don't have an option for Walker Buehler right now. It's unfortunate, but that's kind of the scenario that we're in. Both of those guys right now, this is what's good for us at the moment.
I guess this is a good problem to have,
Flaherty,
right?
It's a good problem to have, but Flaherty and Walker Buehler, what they're pitching for right now is not for the Dodgers. They're pitching for themselves to get a big contract.
Flaherty had Tommy John in 2019.
Oh, so he's due. He's due to have Tommy John surgery next year. At the rate these guys go, like, who knows? At least you know with Walker Buehler's Tommy John surgery, he's probably not going to need one for another 2 or 3 years.
That's the way you got to look at it.
It's only Dodgers going through all these injured pitchers.
Baltimore lost
their whole pitching staff other than Corbin Burns. They lost everybody to injuries. Their whole pitching staff and half of their bullpen.
This is a league wide thing, man.
Yeah, everybody. What's the guy Strider in Atlanta? He could have won the Cy Young this year. They lost him after the first month, right?
Yeah,
a month or two. Everybody has pitching injuries. The Yankees didn't have Gerrit Cole, reigning Cy Young winner, for the first half of the season. Everybody has pitching.
The way
injuries,
these guys
everybody.
Have to pitch now to compete with the way these guys hit, their arms are coming off. Like,
yeah.
Unless the expectations for a starting pitcher drop, and the expectations for how many runs are a good pitcher is allowed to give, you know what I mean? Like, right now, I think you look at a pitcher, if their ERA is in the twos, that's a dominant pitcher. That's a really good pitcher. If a pitcher's ERA is in the threes, that's a good pitcher. And then if they're in the fours, a decent, blah, blah, whatever. I think at some point, if the pitchers decide, hey, we want to keep our arms, and instead of everybody trying to throw 100 miles an hour, 98 miles an hour, and the expectations drop to 93 miles an hour, 92 miles an hour, but you're leaving up a little bit more meatballs, so you're giving up an extra home run a game.
Yeah, and me and Mike were talking about it, was it last week or a couple of weeks ago, about they still pay these guys top dollars, so no one's going to change.
Yeah.
You know, Tommy John or not, they're still getting paid.
There's 6-man rotation, 7-man rotation, so that gives them more time for their arms to heal in between starts. I mean, because they're not going to get rid of, they're going to keep a pitch clock going. I think the way that it sped the game up to 15 seconds, I mean, I can see them maybe adjusting it so it's 20 seconds all the time, regardless if there's a runner on base or not. But it's still, it's going to happen. It's part of the game now.
You beat me to the punch. I was going to say get rid of the pitch clock.
It's not going away, dude. That's there for life. It's there for life. Even my wife can sit there and she can watch a little bit of baseball with me now. It was getting ridiculous. I mean, you have to be honest. Like, it would take Joe Kelly 5 minutes to throw a pitch sometimes. It was insane.
You know why it takes Joe Kelly 5 minutes to throw a pitch? Because he's got to think about how to throw a strike.
He's got to remember all of his mechanics.
Yeah, is it all right? Okay.
Yeah.
Come set, deep breath, spread like a pterodactyl, and like hit my spot.
Zach Greinke?
And then he'd step off and reset when he figured out how to throw a strike.
Yeah, dude, Zach Greinke was the same way, man. Zach Greinke would take forever to throw a pitch.
Oh, I was a big Zach Greinke fan.
I liked him too, but I mean, at some point, it was getting a little insane how long it was taking for him to throw pitches.
Yes, I agree. You're not wrong with that. I just want to see, as a fan of baseball, I don't want to see all these injuries, and it shouldn't be the norm. I don't think it should be accepted. It shouldn't be accepted that it's, oh, well, it's just part of the game now. They overthrow now, and they got to, throw 100 miles an hour to get these new hitters out. So you're just going to have a couple of Tommy Johns start your career. Like, oh, well, just the way it is. I don't, that pisses me off. F that. Like, come on. No injuries. We want to see people play longevity. Long-lasting careers with no Tommy John surgeries.
Well, I think the first step would be 6-man rotation. I think
You've been touting that for like a month.
It would just be
6-man rotation.
It's just me saying that just because, I don't know the logistics of it. I don't know the exact science of it.
There's no reason why you couldn't. Why couldn't you go to a 6-man rotation? Maybe that's the future of baseball.
Maybe you're onto something. I feel like maybe one of the reasons why it hasn't gone that way is because of the individual stats that players want to get.
Yeah, who runs the team? The manager. If you listen to Max, it's the freaking GM.
Well, it's interesting because you know that Yamamoto wants it. I'm pretty sure Ohtani was doing that in Anaheim.
Well, if it comes out,
they did have a 6-man rotation over there. I'm not 100% sure, but I feel like they were already doing that over there with him because it was kind of one of the things that he needed.
So, okay, let's go back it up. You mentioned six-man rotation, and it would hurt the individual stats for the pitcher and their contract. So if that's the case,
just a freaking contract. Just like if someone's trying to go for strikeout king, or they're trying to like have the most wins.
I get it, but what I'm saying is, if you went to six-man rotation, and it's going to impact their incentives and their contract, if I was their agent, I'd go back to the GM and go, "Hey, look, you just cut down my guy's opportunity to hit these incentives. I want to restructure the contract for realistic goals."
Yeah, I think that would be readjusted. I wasn't thinking about the individual contract. It was more the individual stats as far as like their legacy on what they could put in the back of their baseball card.
They don't care about legacies anymore. They care about getting paid.
Yeah.
They all do.
I think they think about
paid first. Still not a fan of that anymore.
Once you get paid, then you start thinking legacy.
Not about getting paid.
Some players.
It's about team, man. The team.
All right.
Okay.
How's that 5-minute clock working out for us, Mike?
It didn't start, but I bet you it's over 5 minutes.
And he's the one, he brought us off this tangent here.
I did.
You did.
I did.
Let's talk about
hold on a second.
Go, Mike.
I want to hear from our fans and listeners if you think Flaherty should be a long-term contract, and is it a true number one going into the playoffs? Like, subscribe, and let us know.
Okay.
Boom.
Boom.
He is 2 years younger than Walker Buehler.
I think it should be realistic.
Not much.
All right, Teoscar.
That's not because you know, here's the thing. Look, we're going to be realistic. Flaherty's going to need Tommy John surgery soon. That's going to take him 2 years out of the league, so it's not going to matter.
It's
right?
Not 2 years. They're recovering a lot faster now.
Nah. Yeah, it's about a year and a half. Yeah.
Speaking of injuries.
Some are even quicker now.
And contracts. I think Teoscar should go to a long.
Now you want to try. God, now I got to find the video again. Mike, hold on.
That's fine.
I agree with that. Hernandez should be re-signed.
We can talk about it. Hernandez should be re-signed.
That's a more realistic one we could actually jump on and figure out how to make that happen.
I mean, there is rumors out in New York that the Dodgers might or probably will take a run at Soto as well.
I think they'll take a run at him, but they're not gonna offer him as much
I think Soto's another Machado.
Well, let's talk about Teoscar really fast, okay?
That's fine.
I got the video up and going, man. Come on.
All right, let's roll. Teoscar.
All right. So he avoids serious injury. He's listed day to day, which is very good. After leaving the game in the first inning on Friday, it looked as if Hernandez was going to be sidelined for an extended period of time with a left foot injury. But it looks like he had an MRI done and a CT scan on Saturday, both coming back negative. So it looks like he's just day to day. Hernandez said himself he thinks he's going to be playing on Monday against the Cubs. So that's
good news.
Yeah, that's very good news.
Who's playing in his spot right now?
Right now is Paez, and Paez is doing a decent job. He's got at least one homer. He did have an error in left field though, but so does Teoscar sometimes. So it's not the end of the world.
But okay, so let me ask you this. Would you let Teoscar get a little bit extra rest and keep Paez in the lineup for now?
If needed. I would say if he needs it, yeah, I would do that.
I wouldn't rush him back.
But if he's already like, you know, feeling really good about it, I would say, yeah, let's let him play. Teoscar, in my opinion, at the beginning of the season, they talked Big Four. They talked Big Four is Ohtani, Betts, and Freeman, and then Smith. Smith was part of the Big Four in the first month. Smith is lucky to be a hitting in the Major League Baseball right now because he's slowly coming back. But Teoscar Hernandez has been one of the most consistent hitters on the team, not just for like just putting the bat on the ball, but just being clutch. So he's got second on the team in RBIs, second on the team in home runs. You're going to feel it if he's not in the lineup, especially where he's batting right now, which is batting fourth. So that's very good that he's not going to the IL. So now if you want to start talking contracts,
a short term. He's up there in age. He's not.
Yeah.
A young
I think
guy.
A good 3 to 4 year contract for him.
Yeah.
Would he's earned
be
it.
Appropriate. He's definitely earned it.
That makes sense.
Definitely for a lot of reasons. First of all, he's becoming a fan favorite. The dude looks like he's having a good time. Looks like he loves baseball. Looks like the clubhouse loves him, which is really good signs. He hits for power. He's very clutch. We said in the beginning of the season, I thought he should be batting fourth just because he had 90-some on RBIs with, who's it, Seattle?
Yeah.
Was it Seattle?
Yeah.
And I don't know what his opportunities were over there, but we were, when we talked about RBI opportunities for Muncy and Smith, they were like 1 and 2 in the league, and Smith only had 70 something RBIs. So, and he had, you know, the second most opportunities, and bringing in Teoscar Hernandez, I knew he was going to be like, be up there number four or whatever. And I think he still has a chance to get 100 RBIs, even sitting out a couple games here and there. So yes, I would like to see him sign for a 3 or 4 year, solidify him in left field. I still kind of think that he would actually move to right. And I think that Mookie, they're going to try Mookie again in the infield next season, because I think the plan to move Mookie into the infield was to save his legs, because they still have him for, you know, quite amount, like, you know, more years ahead. I think they're going to put, they're going to give Lux a shot again at shortstop and Mookie at second base and just go from there, or vice versa, whatever. But I could see Teoscar plays better right field than he does left field. And so I could see him being the everyday right fielder next year.
But it wouldn't, if you move Mookie to shortstop, that's more tasking than playing right field or left field.
Yeah.
Shortstop is probably the second most demanding position behind catcher.
It's possible. Yeah. The main plan wasn't for Betts to be shortstop. The main plan was for him to be second base. Lux was supposed to be able to handle shortstop. But now that Lux has proven he can hit in the majors, I could see them, you know, let's revisit that shortstop thing now, because now he's not, you know, 6 months removed from coming off, like being able to use his leg again. He has a full season underneath his legs as they're getting stronger. So now he might be able to make that throw consistently from shortstop. So I can see them putting him back at shortstop, Mookie at second base, put Teoscar in right field. And now you're figuring out center field. You have Edmund now, I think, for another year or two. That's your center fielder, or maybe he's your shortstop. Put Lux in center field. I don't know. There's options that they have, so that's good. But anyways, yeah, Teoscar. Sign him. Mike, you down for that?
I like Teoscar a lot. I think he reminds you of, he has the energy like Puig did, except he's
not a lunatic?
Yes. I'm a Teoscar fan. I like him. Yeah. And that's all I got to say about that.
Your melatonin's kicking in, dude.
I know it. That sun got to me today.
I think it's gonna do it for player spotlight.
We got an ad spot coming up.
Got an ad spot.
Oh, that's me.
We got to change. By the way, if anyone's interested in advertising with this
wonderful podcast called Talking Dodgers,
Talking Dodgers.
Player Spotlight is brought to you by Rot Your Brain Media, the up-and-coming podcast company delivering top-quality content across all podcast platforms, from sports entertainment to in-depth movies and TV reviews. Rot Your Brain Media is your go-to for fun and exciting content. Don't miss out. Visit their Patreon page for exclusive content at patreon.com/rotyourbrainmedia to support this dynamic new company and be part of something special. Subscribe now and get ready to have your brain truly entertained.
Well done, Max.
There you go.
Very well done. Don't forget also to click that like and subscribe button.
Hey, I'll throw one out there. Listen to this. Don't laugh. This is good.
Okay.
Our 100th subscriber, I'll buy you 2 Dodger tickets.
Ooh.
On me.
Oh, wow.
100th subscriber.
We're at like 96. 2 Dodger tickets.
Okay.
And it can't be someone you...
I don't think I've subscribed yet. It can't be a
relative.
He's like, I don't think
I got offered tickets for the game today. 100. And I almost took them, and I'm glad I didn't, because people in that game looked miserable. You see everyone just slowly go into the shade because it was so hot out there?
It's been hot for a week, y'all. Here.
Two tickets to a Dodger game. 100 subscriber. Let's get to 100.
All right. That's a good goal. I like it. We're going to be making some changes. I thought, you know, if you listen this long, I might as well let you know. We're going to be making some changes on how we present this podcast. Like, it's brought to you by, this whole podcast is really brought to you by Roger Brain Media, right? Can we say that?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Mike brought up some good points on how we've been presenting ourselves, and we got to start doing that soon. I got some stuff to share with you off air, Mike. It's going to be exciting.
Oh, I'm stoked for it. Yeah.
Exciting.
We couldn't put this together without Roger Brain Media. I mean,
Roger Brain Media. Those guys are awesome.
Talking Dodgers is brought to you by Roger Brain Media.
Yep.
We'll start doing intros like that. Soon. We've had a lot of feedback out in the community there. Robbie, when I was at our evaluations this weekend, a couple people were telling me that they miss Max when he's not here, that you and I can't carry the
torch.
We can't carry it.
We actually sound pathetic without Max.
It's so true. I got, you just, I had a couple
disappointing. Stop looking at my fantasy scores right now.
Stop looking at your fantasy scores.
I'm not.
What are you looking at? Number two?
One of our listeners.
Who's number one? It's this guy's number one.
I'll give him a shout out. Hopefully he's still listening.
Montgomery.
John, one of our listeners, told me that we need Max.
He's not wrong. That guy, John's a pretty smart guy.
What, he's a Yankee fan?
No, he's a diehard Dodger fan.
Diehard Dodger fan, I think.
But I will get, hey, here's, I'll give you a little of a fun fact of our friend John. Diehard Niner fan. He's going to be rooting for the Niners against the Jets on Monday
Jets
night.
Jets are pulling the upset.
I had some respect for John, but now it's out the window. He's a Niner fan. I can't do it. Anything San Francisco, get out of here.
Oh, I like the Niners.
Get out of here.
Jets are getting 4.5, I think. So if you're betting, I would take that.
You want to bet
on Jets going to win outright?
You want to bet on Aaron Rodgers getting hurt?
No, he's not getting hurt. Why would you even say that, bro? Why are you putting that in the ether, man?
Or Breece Hall?
Why are you speaking that one into existence as well? You're a vicious dude. I thought we were friends, man.
We are friends. I love football, but I love talking Dodgers more.
Oh, I like it. All right. Jeez. Let's jump into this series recap against the Guardians. All right, first game, Landon Knack.
Put up some big numbers.
We talked a little bit about Landon Knack in previous episodes. We talked a little bit about him in this episode. Landon Knack goes 6 innings, gives up 3 hits, 2 earned runs, 1 walk, 8 Ks, 1 homer. Landon Knack looked great. I have the wrong video up. Darn it. There goes Landon. Oh, that's because that's what happened at the beginning of the game is when Teoscar Hernandez went out. But Landon Knack looked great. I think he's definitely, if he keeps pitching the way he is pitching, he might be part of a conversation going into the playoffs. I never thought we'd be talking about Landon Knack being an option as a starter. But if we keep dropping like flies at this rate, he could be the number one pitcher. Who the heck knows?
He's had some good outings, though, over the course of the season.
He has, definitely. He's had a couple clunkers, but the majority of them have been good. All right, so Otani goes 2-for-4 with a solo homer, which was his 45th homer, which would made him part of the 45-45 club.
I think he's the first person ever to be on the 45-45 club.
He is the first person. And
you said part of. I think he's
the person who caught that ball. $100,000.
45-45 club's a party of one.
Party of one. That's right.
Congratulations, Otani. That's awesome.
Betts goes 2-for-4 with 2 RBIs, and Freeman goes 1-for-3. The rest of the team did not get a hit at all, which was unfortunate. The Dodgers lose the first game 3-2-1.
Not going
to
cut it.
It was pretty lackluster, to be honest with you, with the exception of the Otani homer and the way that Knack pit.
Yeah, I expected you guys to sweep the Guardians. The Guardians are not that good to me. So.
The offense just was flat. We only got one run. It's not going to win games.
Exactly.
No, and with this lineup, that's really disappointing when that happens.
The Dodgers are so much better than them. I can't believe they didn't sweep them.
We're still 6 games up on our nemesis.
The Mets are red hot, and they're only like 2 games back of.
We're not talking about the Mets. We're talking about the Snakes and the Padres.
But listen, if the Mets could take one of them out of the playoffs picture, that's what I'm talking to you.
Okay.
Now you care.
Okay.
I just said the Mets are 2 games back of both of them. That means they're not guaranteed to make the playoffs anymore.
I don't think the Dodgers are number one in the National League anymore, though. I think
they got the best record in baseball.
I don't think so. I think they're number two.
No,
now.
I just looked today.
Oh. Yeah, they're 86 wins.
Yeah.
What's Philly?
85.
Oh, okay. They must have dropped the last 2 games. Did they drop the last 2 games?
I don't know. But,
hey, now it's no longer guaranteed that Padres and Diamondbacks are guaranteed in because both the Mets and the Braves are only 2 games out.
Okay, so
where are the Giants at?
Oh, you know why? Giants are like playing well too.
Yeah,
we
touched on them a little bit.
They're a good 9.
Hold on,
games
back
out.
Up. Let's back up to the Mets.
The wild card.
Let's back up to the Mets. Do we need to do a Mets tracker as we move forward to see if you can knock one of our nemesis out of the playoffs in the NL West?
I mean, they're not. They've won 9 of the last 10.
I think we should track them a little bit.
They've narrowed in, and both and the Braves. I don't know how the Braves are winning. They have so many injuries, but they're still winning. And you know, the Diamondbacks and the Padres have lost. Padres are 5-5 in the last 10, and the Diamondbacks are 4-6. So it's no longer a guarantee that both of those are making the playoffs.
Max?
It's going to be down to the last week probably at this point,
Max?
Which is good for you guys.
The New York Mets are stat-worthy. Guess what? our local Yankee fan, is going to give us stats on the Mets.
The Mets?
The Mets.
The little brothers?
Hey,
just
right
be
now,
happy that they might get like take the one of you guys
cousin.
Out.
Let's not I want to know. Brothers. Yeah, we need a phone.
The
we
brothers want. Moved away. Now it's just the annoying cousin.
The Mets.
Listen, they're red hot. They have a really good lineup. But if they eliminate the Diamondbacks or the Padres, wouldn't
that's
you be
a
happy?
Big deal. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. There you go.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so let's dive into this. Are we worried about the Mets playing the Dodgers?
No.
No.
Okay.
The Mets don't have the pitching for, you know, you're not scared of their pitching staff. So.
Okay.
I'm surprised that they're just hot right now.
The only thing I'm afraid of really is the Dodgers going into a slump.
Right?
That's really
it. The Dodgers are the only people that can beat themselves.
That's true. We've also seen the way that they actually play defense too. They can beat themselves because they've been making some poor decisions on the field.
And some, bonehead errors.
Mental errors. Credit it to Mike. Mental errors. Okay. Mike, I'm going to go to the second game now. Are you ready?
I'm always ready.
Unless you got something else you want to say, we're going for it. Here we go. Boom. All right. Saturday's game. The Dodgers win that one 7-2. This is a bullpen game. I did want to actually bring up the stats of the bullpen because there was a little bit of shakiness going on there. For the most part, the bullpen looked pretty good. Right now, Brazier started the game off. Michael Grove went one inning. He did look good, but he gave up one earned run. We're going to talk about the error. He looked a little shaky, but Robleski comes in, walks three, but yet still strikes out two in two innings. So
I don't get
Robleski's got this, you know.
Why did they just start one of those two guys and just call?
I think the plan
starters?
For some reason I thought that the plan might have been for Grove to go at least two or three innings, and then Robleski was going to go two or three innings. But the way Robleski was looking, they decided not to, and Grove wasn't looking as consistent. So I think they decided, you know what, that they have a day off coming up soon.
Yeah, because they're starting pitchers. Why are you making them come out of the bullpen? I don't understand why teams do this.
That was very weird.
Such a mess. Just start one of them and let them go into their normal starting pitcher routine. And I bet you they would have gave you a quote-unquote quality start.
You know what? You know what?
I think maybe that plan might have changed ridiculous. If they knew the Dodgers were going to put up seven runs. But Robleski's looked pretty bad the last couple times he started. And Michael Grove, when he does go multiple innings, he starts to get a little bit shaky as he goes on. He's not that starter that they wanted him to be in the beginning, so...
Also, he's a reliever now.
Grove's a reliever now. And Robleski, you know, they're at the point, I think the Dodgers are like, we need to win some games. They obviously looked at their schedule. They looked at what they had coming up because they had Trident, Vesia, Kopech, Honeywell. Honeywell pitched two innings as well. But those guys, I don't think they even got into the inning or got into the game on Sunday, which we'll look at that in a second.
It's just.
I think Kopech actually he got into the eighth game or
with,
the eighth inning.
With the struggles of our middle relief and bullpen lately, you don't think they were giving those guys a shot to see what they did coming out of the pen?
That might be a good.
That's what I think.
Yeah, probably.
That's what I would have done.
That's a good take.
I would say scratch Robleski. Like I don't think he's got it as far as coming out of the pen. Grove obviously showed his stuff throughout the season. He's actually pretty good out of the pen.
We just have to have a backup plan with all these injuries. We can't just assume, oh, so-and-so's not good coming out of the bullpen or so-and-so can't be a starter. I mean, right now,
I think we have a lot of options for bullpen coming into the playoffs. We have a lot of them. We've gone through them.
All I'm saying is not if people keep getting hurt, like you brought up earlier. Well,
obviously, yeah.
Anyways.
Baseball. Oh, I got to pull my next video.
It's okay.
It's happening. Things just got real.
Well, while you do that, I just hate that all these teams have these huge payrolls and they're still doing cute, you know, bullpen games like this. I get it.
You're right.
It drives me nuts. It's like, you know, I hate when teams do this crap. Especially
you're
in
right.
the playoffs.
I feel like Grove should have started the game. I know. I understand. Have Brazier do one inning. Like he's your piggybacker. Then Grove comes in. Grove should have went two or three innings. Then Robleski, I think the plan should have been two or three innings. That gives you seven innings now. Then you just, you know, use Honeywell and Vesia at the end or something like that. But they want to win the series. I think the plan should always be at least win the series. You don't got to sweep, but at least win the series.
Which
every
we
time.
Did.
I think
you lost the first game and you had no offense the first game. So I think maybe they're just being a little cautious because you only scored one run. Nobody else got a hit the first game besides your big three.
I think it's these foreign offices just trying to be cute and show everybody how smart they are that they're going outside the box with, you know, these bullpen games. Like, put a starter in there and just freaking play baseball, man.
Well,
we'd love
stop
to.
Stop being cute.
Quick injuries.
You know.
Injuries.
Speaking about pitching in the box. All right, so game three on Sunday. Flaherty, 7 1/3, 4 hits, 6 Ks, 0 walks, 0 runs. Flaherty was the man. We already talked about him. Ohtani goes 2 for 4 with a solo homer, giving him his 46th homer. So now he's 46 stolen bases and 46 home runs. He just needs 4 more home runs and 4 more stolen bases to be the first 50-50 guy on the planet.
They're playing the Cubs this week?
Playing the Cubs this week, so they should be doing...
In Chicago, or is it out here?
It's here.
Oh, yeah. If it was in Chicago, he'll break it in the second game. That little bandbox.
Muncy goes 1 for 2 with 2 walks and a solo homer. That guy is always on base. Always seems to get a hit when you need him to. I really like Muncy. I'm glad he's back in the lineup. And Will Smith found his bat. It was broken in the corner. He restitched it up and went 3 for 4. He had a double and an RBI. His swing looked good. This swing always looks good. It seems like he's putting the bat on the ball a lot now, which is nice to see.
We looked at it before. His barrel rate was still solid.
Yeah.
So,
well, after Robbie, after that stern talking to you gave him a few weeks ago or a few pods ago,
yeah, man,
he started hitting.
He said to bend him over. Smack him in his butt, dude.
First he's talking about splits, now bending him over. Like,
smacked him on his butt.
Here?
Where are you going, Max? Where are you going, Max? I'm not the one saying these things.
Smacking people on the butt and stuff.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I was just scolding him. That's
whatever you're doing, keep it up because he's hitting.
I'm just gonna leave that alone.
So the Dodgers take 2 out of 3 of the series. They maintain their lead in the West, and apparently they are still the number one team in the National League, possibly all of baseball. I haven't looked at the actual overall standings.
They do have the best record in baseball.
Which is not by much. And they are actually on track to still get 100 wins.
They might be the only team.
They might be the only team that does it, but they're going to, I mean, they're going to keep their record alive of consecutive seasons of 100 wins, not counting 2020. That doesn't count. Okay, so that's going to do it for the recap. Now, let's go ahead and look at the Chicago series coming up. Once again, don't forget to click that like and subscribe button. Help us spread like a virus.
Like a virus.
If you follow us, you know, you get notifications when we drop new episodes every Monday and Thursday?
Yeah, remember.
No, we drop Friday. Monday, Fridays.
100 subscriber gets 2 Dodger tickets.
Yeah. Melissa, if you're listening.
Come on, let's get to 100.
Hey, where are we sitting at? I mean,
we're 96 or something the other day.
Fun trick. Hey, I'll give you guys a fun trick. So this is privileged knowledge for our dedicated followers that go all the way to the end of a podcast. If you show up to Dodger Stadium and you buy the cheapest tickets you can find on StubHub or the MLB Stadium or whatever you're using, you get into the stadium, because now what's so good about Dodger Stadium is you can walk anywhere, right? Before you had to be designated areas when you'd walk in, but now you can walk around the entire stadium. You know what I'm talking about, Mike. Don't look at me like that.
Don't promote this.
I'm doing it. Should I promote it?
No.
You sure?
Yes.
All right. I won't do it. Help people out, get you some good
seats. If you know, you know.
You know,
you can move on to the Cubs.
You go ahead. You talk to me. You DM me. You DM us. Maybe we'll help you. We'll give you the inside track.
Hey, if you want to know the inside track and the secrets to Dodger Stadium, DM Robbie.
Wait, don't DM me. DM Max. Okay. All right, Max, give us the breakdown. Chicago series coming up.
Well, the Cubs this weekend versus the Yankees scored a whopping 2 runs. So, and somehow they didn't get swept.
And the Yankees say that, darn it.
They didn't even sweep them because they ended up winning today 2-1 the last 2 games. So the Cubs are already thinking about their vacation. So
let's look at the highlights of the Yankees getting destroyed.
It was 2-1.
It's the highlights of the Cubs looking good.
So Monday we have Kyle Hendricks, professional pitcher, versus Walker Buehler, and we want to see Walker Buehler, you know, follow up with another strong, because again, like we talked about, he's been phenomenal in the playoffs. If he can start showing that he could be that number one or two starter in the playoffs. That's what we're looking for tomorrow. Tuesday's the big one. Yamamoto is back, and he's going against Shohei Imanga. Ooh,
yes, it's happening.
It is happening.
It is happening. Okay, that's going to be the game. I mean, obviously, we want to see the game because it's Yamamoto coming back, but that's a big... Oh, I wonder if any networks picked that up. That's big bragging rights.
It says it's TBS.
Is it TBS?
Yeah.
I wonder if they already had that before. They probably did in hopes that was going to line up.
Yeah. And then Wednesday, you have Jordan Wicks versus Bobby Miller.
Ooh.
To close out the series.
I mean, I think Dodgers take 2 out of 3. The way Bobby Miller's been pitching.
Oh, you have no faith in that?
No.
I mean, hopefully that's about... I mean, dude, the guy still had 8 Ks in that game. Like, he had... flares. I mean, hopefully he had flashes. I think if they go and they look at the tapes, maybe he was tipping his pitches or something. They make some adjustments. They look at his pitch sequencing. And if he hits his spots, I mean, he could have a good outing. He's got great stuff. Bobby Miller was I guess maybe you could say he was the Dodgers' best pitcher last year. We could say that, right? I mean, he was the best pitcher for the Dodgers last year.
Maybe.
No. He was. He was the best pitcher for the Dodgers last year.
I say he has a great outing if Robbie has a talk with him like he did Will Smith.
Last thing on the Cubs.
Bobby, step in. Bobby, step in. Bobby Miller, step into Robbie's office.
Oh, gosh.
He's going to have a talk with you.
I'm just going to leave all that
it's
alone.
It's too much.
Last thing I'll say on the Cubs, the thing that their strength is their pitching. They're one of the top in ERA. But again, their offense is not anything to write home about. Dodgers should dominate, at least win the series, if not sweep.
What are you calling, Max? You calling for a sweep or no?
Yeah, I'm calling a sweep.
Ooh. Wait, what'd you call the last series?
I thought you guys would have swept the Guardians too.
And they thought we'd sweep the Angels. But...
yeah.
Maybe you should stop calling the sweep, dude, because you're kind of screwing us up.
Well, the Dodgers are better than all those teams. They should have swept them.
They are.
That's all right. We won the series.
As long as you win series.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
That's all we're looking for right now. At least that's all I'm looking for. I mean, obviously you want to see, but I'm fine. Look, if I'm fine, if they at least win the series, but the games that you lose, you at least look like you're competitive and you're pitching well and you're hitting well. And yes, you're not going to win every single game. It's the games where they get blown out and you just kind of like... throw the towel in. Like, those are the games I can't stand. I feel like they should be in every single game. With this lineup, there's no game that they should not be in.
The game that they would, that, you know, if you're thinking about it, would be the Wednesday. You said Bobby Miller, because Thursday's a, you know, a travel day. You know how
just the mentality. It's Wednesday a day game?
Oh, if it's a day game, yeah, they're not thinking about that.
No, 7:10.
They're thinking about the day off. But
all three games are at 7 o'clock.
Yeah,
even
so
with the travel day?
Yeah, it's a 7:10 start. So they might be thinking about that, you know, especially if they win the first two, and it'll be a letdown. That's realistic.
You know what? Another fun fact. My cousin, you always laugh at my fun facts.
I love them.
We should make a whole segment, fun fact. Go ahead.
Fun facts with Mike.
My cousin, who's a listener, is a freaking Chicago Cubs diehard fan.
Oh.
It's not a fun fact. It's actually a frightening fact.
You know what? I'm a Cubs fan. I was rooting for the Cubs for a long time because he just felt bad for the Cubs because they couldn't win it. Now that they've won it, forget them. I don't like them. I like the Cubs. They're not in the same division. You know, I would say, here you go. Let's say the Cubs make the playoffs. Let's say the Cubs make the playoffs. The Dodgers don't. Out of all the teams that would be in the playoffs.
In
the NL. Out of all the teams, the Braves, the Padres, the Diamondbacks, all the teams, like any team you talk, like the Brewers, I would root for the Cubs. Out of all the other teams, if the Dodgers didn't make the playoffs and all the other teams did, I'd root for the Cubs. The Dodgers got knocked out.
Why?
Because they're harmless. You know, like they've never really given the Dodgers. There was a moment that there was some kind of issue, competitiveness and stuff like that. But you look at like Braves used to be in the same division. Braves the Dodgers met Braves in the playoffs a lot of times, and it's been very competitive. The Braves have knocked them out. The Dodgers have knocked them out. There's been bad blood. Same thing with the Padres, same division. Arizona, same division. Brewers, I mean, they're just the Brewers. I mean, they stole an MVP away from Matt Kemp.
Mets and the Dodgers have played a couple of playoff series.
Mets and the Dodgers, yeah. And these are also New York. We hate New York, except for Max.
not right now. The Mets might help us keep the Padres or the Diamondbacks out of
but playoff. You know what I'm saying? Out of all those teams, go
you
Cubs.
You like the Cubs?
Yeah, go Cubs.
I would like to see, as a baseball fan, I would like to see Bryce Harper win a World Series.
Philly.
I like Schwarber. He's a fun guy to watch.
Fastest. Look at me. Fastest. I can't say it. I can't say it because we're going for the PG rating here.
Anyways, go Dodgers.
I do like Schwarber. I like Harper. I think they've definitely got that swag you always talk about.
But go Dodgers.
They can't win against the Dodgers.
No. Dodgers are going to go to the series. I think we could go 3-2. I think we drop one game out of this series.
Yeah, most likely.
I'm with you on that. It'd be Bobby Miller.
Hopefully,
unless he steps into your office.
Hopefully Yamamoto at least deals for the 3 innings he's going to pitch.
Are you worried about him pitching? What do you think about Yamamoto? Do you think he's going to come out?
I'm worried he's going to have a really bad first inning.
Well, offense is going to have to bail him out.
Well, it's going to be tough against, what's his name from the Cubs? That pitch, he's a really good pitcher.
What do you guys think? You think Yamamoto is going to be shaky? I want to hear from our fans.
Let us know, fans.
He's good. He's got to be...
He's 12-3, 2.99 ERA, 155 strikeouts, whip of 1.02, which is 7th best.
Yeah.
He's solid.
He's also got fire.
And lefty.
Yeah, so. he's got passion when he pitches, too. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, solid pitcher.
Not against the Dodgers, though. Hopefully he has no passion against the Dodgers, and the Dodgers rock him. But we'll see. All right, I think that's going to do it for this episode of Talking Dodgers. Don't forget to click that like and subscribe button. Please check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/rotyourbrainmedia. All of your contributions help us create content, which you apparently love because you listened to this episode all the way to the end. You're going to help us spread like a virus because you are going to make sure that you tell your neighbor, your enemies, your dog walker, your mailman. When you walk into the supermarket, the random stranger that walks by, you just go, Talking Dodgers, subscribe. And then just keep walking. Just do it. And, you know, help us get that 100th follower, get that, you know, good, what is it, behind home plate, Mike, you getting for the Dodger tickets?
Maybe.
Get out of here. Are you really? Where's the seat at? Where are you going? Huh? Where are we sitting? I mean, where are they sitting?
Field level.
Which series? Well, I guess it would depend on how
long. It depends on when we get the 100 likes.
Man, hopefully it's this season.
Oh, man, I hear that.
Hopefully it's this season. All right. We'll catch you guys next time. Go Dodgers. Beat the Cubs. Let's go for a sweep. Have a nice week.
Thank you for listening to Talking Dodgers, presented by Rock Your Brain Media.
So Ohtani, 46 home runs and 101 RBIs. That's cute. That's just about a month ago.